One day, I was on social media, and I was scrolling through, and I saw this meme, and it went like this. People in the 80s. Oh, in the future, they'll be flying cars. In the 20th century, you know, we're going to have all these far-out inventions. And then, of course, the second part says, in today's age, and it was a Subway wrapper, and on the Subway wrapper, it says, do not eat this paper. I think it kind of just goes to show humanity has high inspirations, but whether or not we achieve them is, let's just say it's not always going to go with that timeline. Probably that's one of life's funny ways of humbling you, isn't it? Where you have a goal that you want to set, and unless there's a plan, and even if there is a plan, sometimes it doesn't pan out. Like, you can prepare and write out steps and do all the things that a person can possibly do to gain the most control for what they want in life. But the funny thing about life is you're never done learning. And once you think you're settled and you think you know, that's when life will usually kick you in the butt. And I don't know, I feel like it's a way of saying, hey, you may have been around for a while now, but hey, you're still learning. And I've always said for the longest time, you can learn something new every day, even when you're not in school. And I think that's just such a true concept. Whether it's academics or learning new skills, life has so much to offer to grow yourself. And I try to do that as much as I can. Grow either physically, spiritually, mentally, physically. I think I already said that. But it's just so important to grow. And I think the common point that most people miss when it comes to learning is, oh, it needs to be useful, which is why most people I've come to have conversations with don't particularly like history, or they didn't grow up enjoying English. They didn't think history was important, or it didn't seem to be a reason. But the well-rounded people, the people that continue to grow, learn for the sake of learning. Now, obviously, there's different levels to someone seeking knowledge and truth, but the commonality between these levels is wanting to learn. People who settle, most people do. It's pretty common, and honestly, why wouldn't you? It's the easier option in life to say, well, you know, I've learned what I need to. You know, I'm in a job, or I've done this much education. For me, I don't see what's the point in the usefulness of learning new things, when the kicker is, it's not about exactly what you're learning that's important. It's the fact that you're continuing to want to learn something. For example, me. I wanted to pick up running. I don't like running, okay? And for me, it was just so boring and so grueling and tedious. And I tried to get into it in college, but, you know, I feel like, especially since I didn't have my AirPods, running with no music just made it even worse. You're just running and trying to distract yourself and not think about how your body is starting to, you know, give up on you. Because, you know, I've never run. I never did cross country or track or any of that stuff in school. And, you know, I could have given up on it. But I like a challenge. Now, it's not to say you have to want to have a challenge in order to learn things. It's the fact that you don't want to settle. That you don't want to stop where you are. You don't want to peak. You know, being in your 20s, it's not easy as much as we were told. Oh, you know, this is the best age of your life. Enjoy it. Not really. Aside from physical looks, you're broke most of the time. You have debts and you have loans and all of your friends are back where they came from when it comes to school. You're maybe at the bottom of the totem pole if you just started the workforce. I mean, whoever made up these songs needs to be held accountable for all of our unrealistic expectations of what we thought our young adulthood would look like. But the key, I think, is not to just go with what you know, but to learn for the sake of learning. The people that are well-rounded learn because they want to learn. Now, it's not trivial facts or little tiny weird things about obscure knowledge. I'm talking about you delve into a subject or skill or whatever, and you start to pick it up. I, for one, loved reading. My mom used to say how she wanted to hold me back another year before I entered preschool because she thought I was too young, which I am. I am young for my grade, which kind of hints you to how the story ends. But she knew how badly I wanted to read, and she's not a teacher. She just didn't know how to teach me how to read. And I would constantly ask her, "Mom, teach me how to read, teach me how to read." And with every other part of her saying, "I need to hold her back," she didn't. She put me in, and I became one of the first kids to learn to read in kindergarten then. And then I ended up finishing at about a second grade level. Then by first grade, I was already reading at about a fourth grade, fifth grade. I loved reading, okay? Loved it, loved it, loved it. Then I got to middle school, high school. I kind of dipped to just a little bit, and by little bit, I mean I just had extracurriculars. Those took up a lot of time. I was on the dance team. When you perform half times, you go wherever the football team goes during the fall season. You know, I had other extracurriculars that were in and took a lot of time. And so the very little downtime I had outside of all of my other hobbies and things that I did and all the super hard classes, the time I really wanted to spend wasn't reading. I needed sleep. So my amount of books that I did read was dipping. Then I got to college and I picked it up again. And I have found a new joy with it. Sometimes a skill doesn't even need to be brand new. Sometimes it can be a refound thing that you used to love. It actually astonishes me how I can meet people and they'll say the last book they've ever really picked up and read is for a school assignment. Now, to be honest, no shade against them, but that's a school assignment, so you have forced to read it. You know, that says to me, you didn't pick up a book voluntarily. Since when? I don't know. I feel like being well-rounded doesn't necessarily mean you're learning skills that are useful. Sometimes learning for the sake of learning shows who a person is, that they're curious about the world. They want to keep learning new things, and that just because you think you know so much doesn't mean that there's so nothing else for you to learn. For example, I am more STEM-based, more science specifically with health and healthcare. And the complete opposite for my brain to process is business or economics. That part of my brain, I don't enjoy. It doesn't click. So if I wanted to, then I would learn that. You know, some things, what's hard and what's your weakness, that seems to be the place where you should try to focus your energy. If you feel like you are either at kind of a plateau in life or you need something to do, why not try something that you're not great at? Who cares if you mess up? No one's around. And you shouldn't be the person that's holding you back from trying new things. Because, I mean, the world, there's so much about the world and our day and age that's against us. Don't let it be yourself, too. Same thing with your mind. Don't let your doubt or anxiety or fear of inadequacy or anxiety or fear of failure, telling yourself you're not good enough or you're not smart enough, or what if I can't do this, what if I fail? Just kind of like what I've tried to tell my friends whenever I have these conversations. World's hard enough. Don't let yourself be on that list too. It's just not worth it. Life's too short and too long to be an enemy against yourself. And I know it's easier said than done, but you have to at least try. And what I mean by try, I'm not saying perform at 100% every day. I mean, let's be real. We're human. We're not meant to perform at 100% all the time. And sometimes me saying try, sometimes it means you only have 50% in the gas tank to go with. But as long as you try, that's all anyone can be asked of, right? For example, you take an exam and you don't study, and then you get a bad grade, versus you have a really hard exam, same situation, but you did study and you tried as hard by doing as much as you can, and you get a bad grade. I think between those two situations, the one where you do study, you're going to feel less frustrated because you knew, well, I did what I could. Versus the person who didn't study at all, they have to be mad at themselves because they probably, if they studied harder, could have gotten that better grade. They're probably looking at it saying, gee, I could have changed this outcome. I could have done something about it. And I think that is what the point that people kind of miss is. The world, there's so many things you can't predict. For example, you may have your whole life planned ahead of you. I mean, I knew I met some people, I used to be that way. And you think you're going to be at this at X age and do this by X age, be married or have kids or whatever the case may be. And, you know, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, it's the path to career, all of that. It truly, you don't know. But you can try to control as many variables as you can. But there's also so many you can't. Like, if you think about it, your spouse, if you get married, that is the one person in your life that you get to truly choose to be with. You can't choose your cousins, you can't choose your parents, you can't choose your siblings, you can't choose your aunts or uncles, but you can choose your spouse. So, if this is the one choice that is truly yours, don't you think you should treat who you end up spending your rest of your life with pretty seriously? I think that's the same thing with life. And it's not to say that everything will go your way, but at least when it comes with plans, with understanding that they also need to be flexible, you can try your best and your energy will be put in the best way possible. And it's one of those things where I think just people forget that. There's one end of the spectrum and then there's the other. One where you don't plan and where you overplan. And both of those are not to a benefit. Because either way, it's too much or too little. You need to have a balance. The balance is required in order to say, yes, this is what I'd like to do. But I should also be open to other ideas if they arise and if they come. By staying true to that principle, life will be a lot more, predictable, but in a fulfilling way. And so I think going back to when I said when people learn for the sake of learning, I'm like that. I really am. And as someone who likes to chase knowledge for knowledge's sake, I will say it's far and few between. We're a pretty rare species, not endangered, but we're just smaller in numbers. And when you find people like that who think like that, it's really fun because it is. And sometimes when you settle, it could be either with a partner or in life. I guess I'm just built that way. I've never been satisfied, and not to say that I'm not grateful for where I came from and what I have already, but it's a balance of gratitude and wanting more. When you're in a mindset of growth, it's kind of a yes and thing, sort of like improv. Yes and is their number one rule when it comes to doing improv, because you have to keep the scene going. You don't want it to end. You need to keep creating and expanding on whatever is happening. And I think that is exactly what it's like to be someone who is constantly driven and has ambition, has drive, has expectations for themselves. Is yes, I have so much already. I'm so blessed. Great family, great health, great friends, you know, whatever. Good job, loving people around me. and I still want to do this, or I still want to get that, or I still want to get the promotion. I still want to go here. I still want to save up for this. Because those two go hand in hand. I think for so long, most people will think of it as enemies. It's like a catch-22. You say you want something, and someone could go, well, don't you think you should be grateful for XYZ? But then, when you have no plans, you look lazy. So either way, you're not cast in a good light. One, you look ungrateful, and the other one, you look like you have no ambition, which, I mean, is true, but it comes from this point of no drive, no fire, nothing under your feet. And I think that balance, that's what life requires. And I'm not saying any of this as if I know the blueprint to life. These are just my thoughts and opinions. But from what I've noticed, it's worked so far. And life throws you curveballs. But when you have a plan and you're willing to work with changes in the plan, that's when you know you can't get stressed with those curveballs. Like, you won't ever know how a person is, what they're made of, until they hit stuff like that. Until they have moments where they have to face those bumps, those shakeups, the things that kind of rattle their life a little bit. Doesn't mean it's flipped upside down or destroyed, but it's just shaken up a little bit. I mean, that's what I've always thought is, before you marry someone, you want to see how they are in their good times and their bad times. Because come on now, when things are good, it's so easy to be happy. I mean, please. It just is. So that's why you need to see the hard times, and you need to go through them too in front of them. Because if who they are really is going to be determined by if things don't go your way. If you're disappointed, if you're confused, you lost your job, you didn't get promoted, more bills came along, or your rent is getting a little high, you know, those types of things. When times are rough, you get to see if they're going to keep going. But not only that, how they react. I saw this video of these couple really inspiring, and instead of physically, you know, spanking their kids, they will dole out physical exercise as a punishment. And they posted this on, you know, social media, and it went viral. And obviously the two main questions were, how do you get your kids to not associate exercise with negative emotion? And their response was, well, you know, we do lots of daily activities, like running or walking or going outside. So they have memories associated with exercise that are fun, so that when they are having to get that consequence, they have more good memories than bad. And also they've instilled in their kids how exercise has good for them. I mean, the oldest one is like 10, and they go on to say how the husband has a home gym, and they're all in sports. And one time or another, each of their kids, they have daughters and sons, come up to the dad personally, say, hey, can I work out with you? Or can I watch you work out? And they'll work out. And the parents will explain, what are the benefits of working out? Why do we do this? What do we do to undo this? And he goes along to say, one of my sons is in soccer, and he wants to tell me, oh, I'm about to try out what type of exercise workouts I can do. So it mitigates any type of risk of there being any negative association with physical activity, so they're not declined later in life to not be active. And I think that's just such a cool approach, because you got to associate a consequence. And I think no consequence is worse than, you know, spanking. And I'm not saying that spanking is necessarily right or wrong, it just depends. But when it comes to situations, and it's a case-by-case basis, you just don't know. So when it comes to life, it's kind of the same way. Sometimes what works for one may not work for the other, but having an idea of what you want to do, that's what matters. And as long as you know that plans change I think things are okay. Because I think one of the biggest problems for my age group is you're feeling so much pressure to be successful. But they never really teach you what that looks like. For some people, it may be wealth. Some people may be happiness. Some think it's separate. Some people think it's the same thing. Some people will say money brings happiness, or it doesn't. Or it includes a family, or it doesn't. The template of life in the 21st century is so ambiguous that you would think that it should make us all happier, when in reality, it's almost kind of daunting. All these options, all these choices, all these paths. But it's also kind of reassuring knowing that there is no set deadline. I mean, we grew up on deadlines in life and school, you know? You have an assignment. You get this X amount of time to finish it. So you got to have that. Or you need to get here at a certain time. Or you need to do this or get this grade in order to pass that. Deadlines have been engraved. Instructions that are clear have been engraved in us to know how to succeed and know how to not. Which is why I loved school for the longest time, because there was clarity within this environment. Now, again, most people are not going to be like me, so just hear me out. The reason I loved school, besides the fact that I loved all the subjects, was there was nothing confusing about what it takes to succeed. They write it all in the syllabus what you're going to learn. They show you what percentage of what goes into the overall grade, what each grade assignment and number will look like in terms of how to get an A. Everything is written down for you to be successful. And then it's up to you to decide if you meet that. It's really in your ball. They give you all the information that you need. You know exactly what you need to do and by when. You know exactly how to do it good to get a good grade, or what not to do to get a bad grade. Life in school is so, so clear. There is really no confusion in terms of what's expected of you or what you need to do to be successful. And when with life, you get that freedom. But depending on how you handle that freedom, it kind of comes with two different consequences. On one hand, person who has that freedom is very good at spending it efficiently, and they don't really like being controlled because they're able to create their own schedule that works for them. That's great. Like, they don't thrive on hard set schedules that are set for them, but if you give them more time to themselves, they'll end up doing what they need to do on the timeline that they want. Versus, on the other hand, you got individuals who thrive so well on the structure, on the school bills, on the cattle walking from class to class, the deadlines, the schedules, the calendars, that you become so dependent on it that by the time you get to be an adult or in the workforce, you realize, crap, I have a lot more time on my hands than I thought. And since you're so unprepared for the fact that you have no one to tell you what to do, it's all up to you. And then there, it splits into two different ways. They end up spending their time wisely or they don't. And they don't learn to adapt. Some people need a schedule given to them. And some people need the freedom to be able to do what they want. Otherwise, they feel trapped. But either way, you have to know what your preferences are. And the problem with school is it's so overly structured that's why I feel like a lot of the times kids get to college and people start falling through the cracks, because they have never had to realize how much time you truly have in a day, that you have to decide what you're going to do. Play video games, work out, study, not study, sleep in, watch TV, not watch TV. Do exercise, don't do exercise, go to class, not go to class. There are so many choices that if you're not being given the freedom to do that in high school, where the consequences are not as big,
per se, as in college, even going to work straight out of high school, if you don't learn it, you're going to be suffering. And I don't think it's entirely the individual's fault, though. How could they know exactly what to do if they've never done it before? And you're kind of letting all of us loose, and, you know, we're supposed to be adults. We're not adults. Come on now. We're adults with training wheels. Most kids, unless you come from a really hard knocks background where you had to do it all on your own, have help from their parents. Okay? Your life is not 100% paid by yourself. Again, there are exceptions. There's always exceptions. But when it comes to life, college is like all the benefits of what it is to be an adult without any of the yucky stuff that comes with being an adult, like bills and taxes and work. Come on, being a student is so much easier than going to work. When you're a student, you get holidays, and let's be honest too, you're not truly studying 24/7, okay? You have Christmas off, you have Thanksgiving off, you have all these holidays throughout the year. And yeah, there's like crunch periods, but it's not like you're going to the workforce and you have to show up to get paid. So you get paid so you can live, pay your bills, pay your rent, pay your taxes, pay your whatever the case may be. Student life is so much easier. Again, going back to what I said about why I like school. You know exactly what you need to do good. But in life, it's all up to you, babe, to figure out what you want to prioritize. Now, that can either give you a lot of relief, or that can give you too much freedom that you kind of biff it, okay? Now, going back to the whole, you know, having support from your family, I mean, it's true. When you go to college, you're not really an adult. You're experiencing independence for the first time. For the first time in your life, you're not living under your parents' roof. First time ever, you get to kind of do whatever you want without having to answer to anybody, having to tell them what time you're going to be somewhere, with who, what time, when you're going to be back. You know, you don't have to answer to anyone, and you can do whatever what the heck ever you want. And with that freedom, depending on who you are, can either hurt you or help you. But either way, you think you're doing what you can. You think what you're doing is best, because that's what comes with youth. Is that arrogancy and impatience. Now, this is something I really kind of wish. I'm like, hey, yo, God, why? Could you make us just a tiny bit more patient? I'm not saying sage, old grandpa patient, but just, you know, something more than just, oh, hurry it up. You know, why is this taking so long type of view sometimes I think everyone in this age gets, where you're like, nothing's happening. I don't see anything happening, but I'm doing the work. What's going on? And that patience comes out, you know? And it's honestly, getting patience is, it's getting harder and harder to build because we have the internet. You can literally don't even have to leave your couch, go in a car to go get food or groceries or anything. You get an Amazon package and it comes in the next day. And it's not even 24 hours before you get it. I mean, everything's so instantaneous in our life that patience can't even be grown because of the things that we get. Now, it's not to say that these things are bad. I mean, they're great. The whole point, the reason they were invented is so that you don't have to wait. But the, you know, the double-edged sword is that you still get everything you want. Therefore, when you have to wait, it's hard. I mean, look how easily it is to maybe go like, hey, come on, why is the internet going so slow when it's maybe lagging by what? Let's be honest. Not that long. I mean, it's a signal going from where you're sitting on the ground all the way up to space, back down to your phone, and we get impatient. I mean, that's insane. It takes trillions of dollars to bring up tens of thousands of pounds of equipment to get stuff into space. And majority of that money goes towards just equipment to be used to get us out of Earth's gravitational pull. And it's ended, at the end, it's just ditched. Because that weight was only used to get you off the ground. That is wild. And yet here we are sitting on our phone, slightly frustrated if something doesn't load fast. I mean, how could patience not be such a rare thing to acquire? Because our society has allowed us to do that. And it's, I would even beg to say that it's not that great. Because if you get something instantly, does the gratification or the realization of what it took to earn it really settle in? I don't know. Unless you take up trying to win a marathon or anything that requires real training, real discipline, something to master, you won't get that same feeling of satisfaction. If we can get everything we want, if we can search up anything from all human knowledge in this entire history we've been existing, where else are you going to find it? Sometimes I'll say you find it through difficult people who enter your life. Or maybe you have to end up being a responsibility for something else. Or maybe you have a setback. Patience comes in all types and forms. But, you know, it's just gotten harder to find. And on top of that, the pressure to constantly perform perfectly has also raised dramatically for the kids my age. I mean, I still feel like a kid, even though I'm supposed to be an adult, which brings me to a side point that I was going to mention. When you're let loose out in college and you're 18, like, that's not an adult, okay? The only reason it says age 18 isn't considered as adult is because they needed to draft more men to go to war. That's the only reason they lowered the age limit. Before then, it was higher, okay? Personally, I don't think you're not even an adult till 25. The law should have changed, okay? Our frontal lobe isn't even fully developed until age 25, okay? And then a tidbit for you, when you hit 30, every year forward, you lose 1% of your brain mass, okay? Think about that the next time you don't want to exercise or you don't want to mentally stimulate yourself with knowledge. There are always ways that we can benefit ourselves, whether it's through learning something new. I mean, my dad, okay, he's a prime example of this. He's in his 80s, okay? Let's just put it that way. And the guy is buff. Guys, he has a full head of hair. You know, there will be men that look older than him, but they're actually 20 years younger. And they would never know. I mean, the fact that he has strong genes, but besides that, I mean, he's picked up poker. He played that. He's been playing that for like 5 years. So since the start of COVID, he joined like cute online games. It was adorable. And then there's this rival he has on there called like Ninja Grandma. It's so funny watching him be like, oh, Ninja Grandma beat me. But as the years have gone on slowly, and honestly, actually quite fast, because he's a very intelligent guy. And he's also kept up with knowing knowledge for the sake of knowledge. I mean, I know that he's winning if I don't see him until later in the night. I know he won when it's like 11 or 12. And he's gotten to a point where he's pretty much unbeatable. He didn't pick that up truly until 5 years ago. Then he started taking like marketing classes, or not marketing, stock market classes, learning how to invest in stocks. He does that twice a week. Guys, he's way past the age of retirement, but here he is trying to learn to work his money to make it work for him. That's so inspiring. If he can do it at that age, we can totally do that at our age. I mean, I'm 23. You know, nothing is impossible in terms of what you're capable of. You just have to have the energy and the drive and that yearning, that curiosity, I mean, to learn, to know, to wonder. I mean, that's where inventors, that's where they thrive, that's where they're born. It's where ideas come from, imagination, wondering how something works. What if people could do this? Why do people do this? That's where you see inventions, that's where you see the discoveries in math, in science, in medicine. What, And I was thinking how I had a conversation with my family just for dinner. I asked them, you know, if we had a golden goose and, you know, laid a golden goose egg, what would you do with that? And everyone had had their own answer. You can answer yourself in your head as I ask you this. My mom and my sister and me had our own answer, and my dad just couldn't come up with anything. And I remember saying, wow, you don't seem like you have very much imagination. He says, I just don't. That made me so sad to think, wow, imagine a world without imagination. Where, without the people, without the imagers, that's not a word. Without the dreamers, we wouldn't have planes. We wouldn't have rockets. We wouldn't even have a phone, computer, train, all these major, major milestones that have advanced our species to be better. I mean, without the dreamers, we wouldn't have gone to space. Without the dreamers, we wouldn't have even left the European continent. I mean, by we, I guess I mean people. You know, we wouldn't have discovered, there wouldn't be no globalization. We wouldn't know what India looked like. By the way, I mean, we didn't even see globalization hit till about the 80s and 90s. If you ask your grandparents, I guarantee you they have some stories you gotta ask, okay? Older people are a treasure trove of stories and knowledge and wisdom. And you get to see your relatives in a whole new light. I've done this at such a young age. I used to always want to know my mom's story and my dad's stories and the stuff that he did and the stuff that my mom did. Because guess what? Before you were born, think about it. You came into their life, not the other way around. They had a whole life before you came into the picture. Same as when, if we ever have kids, those kids entered your life. That means they have a whole story, things to look at, things to talk about, things to get to know. And you'll start to find that your parent is just like any other person. And it really does enrich your relationship with them. They're a treasure trove of lore. And once you know it, you start to appreciate them on a whole new level. And that's knowledge too. You're getting to know your family in a different light. I remember my uncle, who is my brother's, who's my dad's brother-in-law. I used to always have an impression of, oh, he's smart and he's quiet. As I got to know him, as I got to ask questions. And by the way, I started doing this around middle school. And I've always been a curious person in this way. Not everyone like this. I get it. But maybe try it out. Maybe you'll get some cool stories. But what I've learned is, oh, he's still quiet, but he's hilarious. Dude is phenomenally smart. Way smarter than I ever perceived as a kid. And you just gain this whole new facet to their life. It's like when you find out a friend does some, like, secret hobby. This has a secret life. And you just find out about it, and you're like, whoa. Huh. I never knew they do that. You know, for example, in the show I used to watch, Liv and Maddie, you have Joey, you know, he's the nerdy type into rocket science and, you know the type. Socially awkward, book smart, not great with talking to girls, and, you know, more into science. And his friends always perceived him as that. And one day he starts kind of acting weird, you know, disappearing and not saying where he's going, whatever. And the little brother and their sister's friend follow him, and he goes back to school. It's after hours, it's dark. They find out he's in a, like, drum circle band thing where they get together and they just drum out. And they're like, wow. Wow, he plays instruments. He has a beat. He has a rhythm. You know, it just opens up a whole new way of how you look at someone. That's knowledge too. There are so many ways you can acquire knowledge, and I think that's just such a cool thing to know that you don't know everything. Yes, it can humble you to make you realize, oh crap, I'm not all that. But it can also be quite exciting to know that there's always something to know. And I think that's beautiful. Anyway, that's kind of all I got for y'all. And I'll catch you guys in the next one. Love you. Bye.